Welcome to the Central Assembly Podcast. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
Good morning, Central Assembly. How is everyone this morning? Ready for change? That was weak. You know, as you look at what's happening around the world, there's a lot of change, isn't there? The introduction was the newly elected executive director. That was major change for me and my wife. We had submitted our plans to the Lord, and by virtue of the election, they were rejected. Change. And so that's what I want to talk about this morning. I want to talk about change. You look at on the political scene, change. Everywhere we look, there's change. Our last election, General Counsel, there's a lot of change that took place there. But before we do anything, let's open up with a word of prayer. Father, we look to you because you recognize that yours and yours alone is the power to do all things. Lord, I know that you have given me the opportunity to address this great congregation. But Holy Spirit, if your anointing is not on it, they'll leave the same way they came. Lord, I submit to you, and I thank you for entrance into each and every one of their hearts. I give you praise for what you have assigned today. And for this, we'll be careful to give you the glory. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. I've already mentioned my title, and that's change. You know, we pastors often talk about it. The choir sings about it. And there's also somewhat of a celebration when it's announced. But the bottom line is very few are willing to change. Because the change is to leave what we've been comfortable with, where we live. You know, I've rent the, where I'm living is AG's property. Because when we came, we were only going to be here 3 years. And so why buy a home? So I said, Maria, let's rent the property. I walk to work every day. It's a haul, but I'm committed. It's less than a block. I said 3 years. So far, it's been seven, almost eight. 7 years, 8 months. And with the election, it's going to be a little longer. So we've decided to change our location. And we'll be doing that in the near future. Change is not only inevitable, it's necessary if we're going to fulfill the things that God has assigned to us. You know, there's an addiction that comes with comfort. Think about that for a moment. It's an addiction that comes with comfort. Are you comfortable where you're at? I was comfortable where I was at Living Faith. 18 years, we were going to retire there. As a matter of fact, I still have my home that's there. We're comfortable. Some of you are comfortable. In a crowd this size, probably one-third to one-half of you are comfortable. If you're comfortable, raise your hand. Wow. Pastor Carter mentioned that we had several grandchildren and a great-grandson. And so this statement here is so real to me. And it's been said that the only people who are excited about change are wet babies. But even they aren't happy when they're being changed. Change isn't change until something changes. Why don't you take your Bibles with me and follow me over to the 2 Kings, chapter 7, verse 3. 2 Kings, chapter 7, verse 3. I'll still wait. I hear pages. God bless you, Otto. You and Edith. Verse 3 says, now there were four men with leprosy at the entrance of the city gate. And they said to each other, why stay we, or why sit we here until we die? If we say we're going into the city, the famine is there, and we will die. And if we stay here, we will die. So let's go over to the camp of the Arameans and surrender. If they spare us, we live. If they kill us, then we die. Now, scripture doesn't indicate how long these lepers were camped outside of the gate. There is nothing that points to how long they were in this condition or how they even became lepers. However, the question, their questioning implies they had come to a place in their situation where they begin to question the madness of staying where they were at. We've got to come to that. Why are we still here? There's no hope of anything here. So they begin to question the madness of where they're at. There comes a time, hear me on this, saints, there comes a time when the risk to remain tight in the bud becomes more painful than the risk it takes to blossom. Let me shake that bush again. There comes a time when the risk to remain tight in the bud becomes more painful than the risk it takes to blossom. Notice the latter part of verse 3. Why sit we here until we die? In other words, what is it accomplishing? And we've got to ask ourselves that. Those of us who are comfortable, what is it accomplishing? Why are we afraid to move on? Why stay where there's no hope of release? No hope of relief. These lepers begin to ask themselves some hard questions, as must we. What is it that has me tied to this situation? Why am I resisting godly counsel? Why am I resisting godly counsel? Why do I keep rehearsing the past? Why? Why am I ignoring the obvious? You know, everybody else sees it, but we don't. Why am I ignoring the obvious? Why am I struggling with deleting his or her phone number from my phone? Why am I struggling with that? Why do I continue to respond to the emails? We're getting home now, aren't we? Why do I continue to stalk them on Facebook? Why sit we here until we die? Because here's comfortable. Yeah, there's madness to it, but it's still comfortable. Let's look at the word here. Because for them, here was the entrance to the city gate. But they were sitting or staying or living outside of that city gate. They couldn't go in if they wanted to. Why? Because they were lepers. So why are you sitting outside? You can't go in. They were lepers. The gates were locked tight because of siege. Now, the city was experiencing a famine. So what were they hoping to receive if they were allowed to go in? You see the madness there? They're at the gate. They can't go in because they're lepers. But let's say they were given that opportunity to go in. There was nothing on the inside. And so, you see how it just doesn't make sense, does it? Doesn't make sense at all. And like the lepers, there are times that we find ourselves in situations that's not going to change. It's not going to change. You know, some of us are holding on to things that has, it's outlived its usefulness. I'm talking about moving. I'm wondering when we begin to move, how many things will I discover I should have thrown away years ago? They've outlived their usefulness. There's some relationships we're tied into. Not that they're wrong, but they've outlived their usefulness. Like the lepers sitting at the gates that promised shelter and provision, yet they had no access to none of it. It couldn't provide shelter. The gates were locked. It had no provision because, again, as I mentioned earlier, it was under siege. It was a time for them to make a decision, as it is for some of us here today. It's time for you to make a decision. It's time for the lepers. It's time to make a decision. Let's move on. Let's move on. See, change is a process. It's a process that requires letting go. Are you listening to me, saints? It's a process that requires letting go. We grieve, and then we move on. But you can't move on until you fully let go. That's the difficult piece. Complacency is a death sentence. We must embrace what God is bringing. And God is bringing change. He said in his word, "Behold, I do a new thing." I do a new thing. Why sit we here until we die? And so my question this morning is, where is here for you? Where is here for you? And how long will you sit there? Somebody needs to ask themselves some hard questions. Why do we continue to cry over situations we can never change? You can't change them. Understand this. You can't move on until you fully let go. Can't move on until you fully let go. But when you let go, give yourself permission to grieve. Give yourself permission to grieve. You see, we don't like grieving. "It didn't really bother me. I didn't really need that. I can change and move." No, no, no. Remember how many days that God, when Moses died, how many days did God give the Israelites to grieve? He gave them 30 days. 30 days to grieve. God knowing that if they didn't have that time to grieve, it would be difficult for them to move on, because they would never let go. This is not original with me, and I can't remember where I heard this from or read this from, but it was said that that's why Satan was arguing with the body of Moses, because he knew if he could take that body and somehow enshrine it somewhere, he could keep the Israelites tied to their past, which would keep them from moving forward. And so give yourself time to grieve. Grief is healthy. Grief is the doorway to closure. Grief is the doorway to closure. Once you let go, give yourself time to grieve, then you move on. You make the change to move on. Don't look back. Move on. The lepers decided that there was no change No chance, rather. They had to move on. Only the Lord knows the number of broken hearts and shattered dreams because people resist change. Understand this, saints. This here, this place that we're locked into, has a way of paralyzing us. Here has a way of robbing us of all hope. God wants change. God wants change. So you see, if you think you can't possess it, or if it's not yours to possess, then you won't. If you think it's not yours to have, then you'll never have it. If you believe God has more than what you're enjoying, then you need to make the change. Do you hear me on that? If you believe God has more for you than what you're enjoying, then you need to make change. Now, I would be lying if I stood up here and told you that I was not comfortable as a senior director of intercultural ministry. I was not looking for change. But I've always asked God, Lord, am I on an assignment, or have I made your assignment my agenda? And in the past couple of days, God has made it very clear you're still on assignment. I've just broadened your platform and given you a greater influence. But I had to change. I'm leaving a group of missionaries that I have grown to love. And I've grieved. I've grieved. And I've given myself time to grieve. I was in Mexico for 3 weeks. Now it's time to move on. It's time to embrace the change. Something on the inside of us as a people has to rise to the challenge and ask ourselves the question, why am I still here? Why am I still here? You see, we will never step into what God has for us as long as we continue to hold on to what God had for us. We will never step into what God has for us as long as we continue to hold on to what God had for us. Jesus, speaking to his disciples, declared, unless you change, this is Jesus, the gospel, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Now listen what's being said. Unless you change and become. Unless you change and become. Listen, you can't become until you change. He was saying to them, you can't become like little children unless you change. What is God saying to you? He says to us, there are things that you can't become because you refuse to change. You think God could take you higher than where you're at? You think God can expand things in your life greater than where you're at? Well, you know what? I'm a senior citizen. You think God stops at that? You think God is limited by our age? God can't do for an 85 or a 90-year-old what he can do for a 15 or 20? Not the God we serve. And so who's to say that at that age, whatever part of the spectrum you're at, that that's not something God wants you to further become? If it's nothing more than your words of wisdom to a younger generation, don't ever doubt what you can become in him. But you'll never become until you change. Am I making sense? So unless you change and become like little children, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. The Apostle Paul wrote this way. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I even reasoned like a child. But when I became, that's the operative word. When I became, there's the change. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Because once I became, now I'm able to change. Well, the lepers decided to change. All right, let's get back with them. They decided to change and to do something different. Now look at your phone, your iPhones or your Bible. This is key. Verse 5. It says, at dusk, they got up. All some of us need to do is just get up. Can I get an amen? Just get up, you know? You know, it's like, Lord, I don't know what you want me to do. It's like a parked car doesn't need direction. Get up. Start up the engine. Start moving, then God can lead you. And so they, at dusk, they got up. You see, getting up is an act of faith. I don't always know what the next step is. You think I know what the next step is when I step into the role of the executive director? No. I didn't even have a plan. I still don't. I don't have a plan. I didn't aspire for that position. Scripture says without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so when we get up, it's an act of faith. It's an act of faith, and the Lord can bring about what he promises. Now watch this, verse 5. At dusk, they got up. Is that what your scripture says, your Bible? Are you looking at your Bible? At dusk, they got up. Now watch God. Verse 6, for the Lord had caused the Arameans to hear the sound of chariots and horses and a great army, so that they said to one another, look, the king of Israel has hired the Hittites and the Egyptian king to attack us. Verse 7, so they got up and they fled in the dusk. When did the lepers get up? When? At dusk. When did the army flee? We don't know what God will do when we get up. You see, the Lord uses the smallest acts of faith to destroy the plans of the enemy. You see, when the lepers got up in faith, the Lord intervened on their behalf. And so the Arameans didn't hear the army of the Hittites and the Egyptians. You know what they heard? They heard the feet of those four lepers that was, as they walked, God caused the earth to tremble because of the faith when they stood up and says, we're tired of this. We're going to change. We're going to make a difference. We're going to step out. Hallelujah. When they stepped out in faith, God moved. I said, God moved. Hallelujah. You see, we just need to get up. Get up and walk away from here. Not here. Number one, I'm not through yet. Walk away from wherever your here is. You need to walk away from here. You see, again, the process of getting up. Hear me on this, saints. The process of getting up could be the answer to someone else's prayers. Who knows? Who can deny? Someone else's deliverance, someone else's breakthrough is on the other side of your obedience. And so the fact that, no condemnation, all right, but think about it. The fact that you refuse to move and you stay where you're at, Who knows how that's impacting others? Well, the lepers got desperate for change. And desperate people do desperate things. You've heard that before. And so my thing is, are you desperate enough to get up? Are you desperate enough to leave that place and to believe God for change? Are you desperate? Are you desperate enough to face your fears? Desperate enough to step out in faith? When the Lord brings you out of your here, it's not just for you. It's also for the blessing of others. I believe that. Somebody's breakthrough is on the other side of your willingness to change. Now, don't miss this, saints. Look at verses 9 and 10. Then they said to each other, "We're not doing right. This is a day of good news, and we are keeping it to ourselves. If we wait until daylight, punishment will overtake us. Let's go at once and report this to the royal palace." Verse 10, so they went and they called out to the city gatekeepers and they told them, "We went into the Arminian camps and not a man was there, not a sound of anyone, only hitch horses and donkeys, and the tents left just as they were." Listen, the entire situation was transformed because four lepers remained to stay where they were at. I said the entire situation, who knows how close some were at death in that city because they were under siege. We don't know. Scripture doesn't give us those details. But because of the faith and because of the willingness to step out in faith and change, make a difference, walk away from this place where it's outlived its usefulness. There's nothing for us to gain remaining in this situation. Because they stepped out in faith, the whole city celebrated. God transformed that whole condition because of those four lepers. I have enough faith in my God to believe that there are many of you here just stepping out in faith. God can change a situation. Yes, it'll be uncomfortable. Yes, it's fearful. I'll tell you what, being the executive director, it's overwhelming for me. I feel it's over my head. I feel I'm not qualified. I know you say, well, if God put you there, you're qualified. Well, okay. That's what you think. That's not what I think. But I'm going to embrace it in faith and allow God to have his way. And so I didn't come here to kind of chide you or challenge you to do something that God hasn't, well, I didn't, God pushed me into that. So, but the situation is the same. You make the decision. You make it. Again, there was great celebration in the city because the lepers decided to initiate change by asking themselves. It all started with a question, didn't it? It all started with a question. Why sit we here until we die? And that's the question that we need to ask ourselves this morning. Why do we stay in this situation? And maybe the situation you're in brings you notoriety, you know, because it's the position or there's finances that tie to it. You don't think God can take care of you outside of those finances? Why sit we here until we die? And perhaps the place you're in is not yours. I mean, I'm looking at these lepers. They didn't bring that leprosy upon themselves. There are things that we encounter. It's not of our doing, but nonetheless, we're there. You see, we're not defeated because of where we are. We are defeated because of our refusal to change. Here's another bush I want to shake again. We're not defeated because of where we are. We are defeated because of our refusal to change. Chad, I'm going to ask that you come. I want to conclude with this here. You see, saints, I believe that, you know, sometimes you, when you step down from this pulpit, you've got to evaluate, did I just say something, or did God give me something to say? I really believe God's given me something to say. And so I've come to ask you a question. And that question is, are you ready to leave here? Are you ready to leave here? You see, verse 5 says they got up. And you saw the questioning. If we stay here, we die. If we go into the camp of the Arameans and they feed us, then we live. But even if they kill us, we die. But if we die in the camp, we're going to die here. So they begin to ask questions. They weren't sure. They didn't know what the outcome was going to be. But they got frustrated and tired of staying in the same place with no change. Verse 5 says, they got up. I'm extending that same all throughout the balcony. If God's been speaking to you, and you need to get up, just as an act of faith, I'm going to ask that you stand. And as you stand, that in faith, as you're standing, you're saying, God, I don't know where you're going to lead me. Even as I stand, there's a sense of fear. Even as I stand, I'm uncomfortable because I don't know what this means. I don't know what the next step is. But I do know this place I'm in has outlived its usefulness. We need to bring them to the altar. We've got time. I'm going to ask that you come to the altar. The altar, the place of true provision. Spoke of many things. One of the things it spoke of was surrender. And as you've come to the altar, stepping out in faith, believing God for change. Change is a decision, transition is a process. Understand it's a process that God will take you through. But God has promised in his word that he would never leave us nor forsake us. That's his promise to us. And even in darkness, God will be your light. I believe that some of us are already in transition. You see, every new day, hear me on this, saints, every new day begins in darkness. 1 second after midnight, it's a new day. You come into the revelation of it when you wake up. And so some of you are already in a new day. It's uncomfortable. It's that darkness is there, but God is moving by his spirit. You're already in a new day. God has shifted. It's a new season. And so as you're at the altar, I want you to lift your hands and say, God, thank you. Thank you for change. Thank you for transformation. Thank you for the new season that I am. I don't understand it. There's an element of fear, but God, I choose to trust you. And to trust you is to surrender completely and totally. Oh, Father. There is not one individual at this altar, Lord, that you're not aware of. You're not aware of, that you're not concerned with. God, you have a plan for each one of them. But they, God, have recognized that it's time for change. It's time to step out in faith. It's time to believe you, Father. So I thank you for moving by your spirit. Thank you, Father, moving by your spirit. I want you to repeat this prayer after me. Lord Jesus, I'll say it with all your heart. Lord Jesus, as I stand at this altar, I stand in faith. I have no knowledge of the next step, but I stand here trusting you. There's an element of fear there because of the uncertainty. But I embrace change for the glory of your great name and for the advancement of your kingdom. I lift my hands to you now. Fill me, Lord. Fill me with the promises of your word.